My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
Hey, guys.
And what the hell was that?
Never go back.
Look, I didn't see the first Jack Reacher. Everyone tells me, oh, it's good. It was a good time. I believe them.
I did.
And then we go to the sequel.
I said
and
that.
It is the biggest garbage fire action nonsense.
It's so bad.
It's among the worst movies of the year, definitely.
Oh, 100% in the worst movies of the year.
So, we're gonna...
This is before the intro.
We're gonna kill whatever desire you have to see Jack Reacher never go to this movie this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, October 21st, 2016. Yeah, it's called Jack Reacher Never Go Back. I don't know why. There's nothing about... Every time I'm out, they keep pulling me back in. Like, there's no one's going back to anything.
Never go back where?
Never go back to the goddamn movie theater after this.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay, so I didn't... Pitch me the first one of these. Because I heard it was good. I think I just was taking a week off from reviews that week, and it just happened that I didn't see it and didn't catch up to it. I know it was filmed here. We probably know some people who had some small parts.
Absolutely. There were a lot of Pittsburgh people in it, filmed all over Pittsburgh, really cool. And I've explained to people that the first Jack Reacher was a pretty good action movie, simple kind of structure, a little plot twisty, but okay. It was fine.
Isn't Werner Herzog the bad guy? Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I've heard nothing but
yeah, it's basically he's a military police kind of detective.
Yeah.
And he's like digging into this case where a trained military sniper shot 5 people.
Okay.
In front of PNC Park.
Okay.
From a parking garage across the river.
Okay.
And he's investigating it. He's kind of a hard-nosed, you know, which is what I liked about it is these are those action movies that I liked when I was 10.
Right.
Like, this was starring Steven Seagal.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's one of those very simple movies.
But at that, I heard the first one was fun, enjoyable.
Dude, it's fun.
Yeah. And this,
it was fun.
This is like a very special episode of Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, and you know the
sequel.
Dude, by the way, one of the best written films of all time, The Usual Suspects.
Uh-huh.
Written by the guy who wrote the first Jack Reacher, Christopher McQuarrie.
And this one,
and he,
not.
No.
No.
And Christopher McQuarrie writes a lot of Tom Cruise movies. Mission Impossible, Edge of Tomorrow, Valkyrie.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, The Way of the Gun was pretty good. And Usual Suspects, and he was an original writer for NYPD Blue. And then he wrote The Usual Suspects.
And this is directed and co-written by Edward Zwick, who you know from...
Dude, and McQuarrie directed the first one, too. That's interesting.
Edward Zwick Edward Zwick did Glory as a young man.
Which is fantastic.
Legends of the Fall, The Siege, The Last Samurai.
Really good movies.
Not The Last Samurai.
It's fine.
No, it's not.
It's garbage. Okay.
And Blood Diamond I kind of hated, too.
No, that was okay.
Love and Other Drugs, I liked that.
Oh, my God. Sure.
What?
It was
you had
okay.
a problem with that?
It was okay.
Oh, that was good. That was good. But... just this is like
Edward Zwick is a decent director,
and this is like how many bad lifetime when there used to be movies of the week, you know?
Dude,
like
Ed Zwick is a decent director.
How many like mid 90s TNT original film cliches can we pack into one movie?
I mean,
that's
dude,
Jack Reacher Never Go Back.
If look, here's the thing. I'd say about 10, 15 minutes in, I turned to Sean and I'm like, I just started giggling. That was the first of many giggling fits.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, dude, you insert Steven Seagal in this movie, and it is Under Siege 4.
And this is direct to DVD being sold at truck stops.
Dude, it's Under Siege 4. It's Above the Law 2.
Yeah.
It's like Hard Target 3.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. It's like, this is a movie where, like, if the first one starred Mel Gibson, and then the second one starred Mel Gibson, and then Mel Gibson did a third one, and then they were like, we want you to make more, and Mel Gibson's like, no.
If they get, like, Jim Belushi.
Okay, that's a stretch. I was going to say, then they get some random...
They get Michael
star.
Madsen. Michael Madsen replaces him.
No, they get Cody from Just the 10 of Us when he was in American Ninja 4.
Yeah.
Or no, Kickboxer 3.
WWE Films buys the property and The Miz is
Sean
now
wins.
Starring.
Sean wins.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
It's unbelievable how bad this was. And like they were like
it's
they were
so
like
so corny.
They were like 12 lines in. There's an opening scene which is fine where he kicks some people at a diner.
Sure. Introduces his character.
And then it went to like the opening credits like montage where he's like meet cuting with a major in DC because he's got to call and check in, and he's like, oh, it's a woman, and he gets flirty.
Yeah, oh yeah, this major of the military police,
Colby Smulders,
which is spectacular, and she's pretty sexy because she looks exactly like my wife. So
oh,
what up,
sweet.
What up, girl?
That's sweet.
Well, you know,
yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you're a female major. What up, doe?
Yeah,
want to go to dinner? I was like,
right.
What?
Right.
What?
And he gets there, and
as soon as he finds out she's a woman, he starts hitting on her.
And he gets there, and she's been arrested for like for espionage. And he immediately goes like, "Well, this isn't right." And that's what starts the movie. That a woman that he's like trying to get with over some phone calls, and he knows for a
his
fact,
entire motivation.
Yeah,
is a girl he asked on a date.
Oh no, not his entire motivation, because the worst
are you gonna spoil this?
Sure. The worst action sequel trope ever.
Oh,
there's a kid in this one.
You have a daughter.
Someone drops on him like, oh, you haven't paid child support. What? You have a daughter. Huh? Here's her picture. What?
Now you have to drag a dumb teenager through the movie.
It's an escort mission, is what they call it in video games. And that, listen, if you're making an action movie and you go, well, maybe there's a kid who, no, stop making the movie.
Yeah, no.
Stop making the movie.
But, like, he might have a kid and it ups the ante. No, how about just trying to not die yourself? That is fine.
If you have a secret Black Ops military police officer unraveling conspiracies, those are enough stakes.
Yeah. You know what? Jason Bourne got worse and worse, okay? You know what they never did? Gave Jason Bourne a fucking daughter.
Yeah.
And or some kid randomly shot. Wait, did that happen? Did it?
I don't think so.
I don't think. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. My point stands.
Or even, you know where
sorry
that
for
happens?
Dropping that F-bomb hard, okay?
You know what? You know where that happens?
I'm pissed.
In Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Oh.
How'd that work out?
Hey, say that again. Slower, Sean.
This is a movie that borrows some plot points from Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Just to put that in perspective, everyone.
What? And here's the fucking mind blowing thing to me. You want an example of how to keep it going right in a franchise like this? Maybe look at Mission Impossible starring Tom Cruise. It's just
lethal weapon.
Keep doing it and make it a little more ridiculous. That's how you get to
Beverly
a fourth
Hills
or fifth
Cop
one.
Two.
Sure. It's so like I turned to you, I think 6 minutes in and went, this dialogue's kind of bad though. And then it just went, it got worse and worse and worse until every line is like, you know.
It's like they went in.
Executive privilege revoked. Like, what's that line from the thing? The you know, like everything they say like and you it's could like an improv scene of an action movie.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like they went on IMDb and looked up every 80s and early 90s action movie and went to the quotes.
Yes.
And then they word jumbled a script.
And even at that, like...
I was pretty happy. That was a good comparison.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Even at that, this is one of those where, like, even the action scenes only work if you ignore that, like, there's someone standing just off screen who could help or hurt. Like, there's 10 action sequences in this where there's someone around the corner who could either shoot Tom Cruise in the head or Colby Smulders is around the corner and she could shoot the bad guy in the head, but it just doesn't happen so we can have an action scene.
I turn to Sean, I go, all this movie is him perpetually getting mugged.
Yes,
it's just always him just getting... It's like dudes are following him in alleys and trying to mug him.
Yes.
Nobody from the government's trying to kill you. You just keep walking into alleys and gangs of men want to rob you.
It's like the storyboards went up and they went, hey, we only have the set pieces. We don't have anything to connect them.
Right.
Eh. Meh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they're in it. This blew my mind more than anything else. They're trying to lay low. Colby Smulders and Tom Cruise and the teenage girl are trying to lay low and find the guy. This is also one of those where it's like, if we find this one guy, the 700 crimes we've committed will immediately, everyone in the world will understand.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So they're trying to get from D.C. to New Orleans because the bad guy's in New Orleans.
Are you going
to
talk about this?
Because it's really cheap to film movies in New Orleans. And by the way, why was Jack Reacher 1 in Pennsylvania and Jack Reacher 2's in Louisiana? Because Louisiana's got a good tax credit and Pennsylvania's isn't as good as it used to be. Right. Anyway, there's this whole sequence where they sneak on a commercial flight from Fairfax to New Orleans.
This made me shake my head hard.
They're in a car, and people don't know about this car yet. They could be in New Orleans. What's the drive from Virginia to New Orleans? Maybe 12 hours.
Already on it.
Maybe 12 hours. If you hustle. But instead,
I'm already on it.
They get this scheme going that involves pickpocketing people that look like them so they outside of the airport so that they can have IDs that'll get them on the plane is longer than I thought. 18?
It's 16 hours.
Sure. When they start? 10 o'clock? They'll be there the next day at 2. Sure. They'll be fine.
That's not a moot point.
Not only is this the stupidest plan ever, including seeing Colby Smulders and the teenager steal IDs.
They're pickpocketing people that look like them.
To get on the plane where they're going to pass by.
The girl had one, remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But also Colby Smulders did not at all.
So they can go into an airport where they're going to pass by 3,000 cameras, TSA.
They're wanted for espionage.
They're wanted for espionage and have military police behind them in every scene, but they're going to just sneak onto a commercial flight.
I think we really need to find out what airline this is.
This is, I was about to start trashing low budget airlines, but you know what? You might be flying some of those soon, so I don't want to.
No, I will not be.
Oh, yeah, you're Southwest
all
the way. I
will not be flying Spirit
You're not on Spirit or Allegiant Air anytime soon.
Sean and I were giggling.
They take off from La Trobe.
We were laughing.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about the music. No, I don't.
Yeah. This is the kind of stuff that is so far beyond the point. But at one point, like he has like a normal volume conversation into a cell phone with another person while they're both standing in the middle of a New Orleans street parade. Basically, which the sound of a football game with tubas, they're like,
it's New Orleans Halloween parade.
There is no scene in this movie where something that makes no sense isn't happening. Did that sentence make sense?
Yep.
Something completely nonsensical happens in every scene of this film.
Yeah.
How about the one day that the only big fight between Tom Hanks and Colby Smulders is them arguing, you have to stay here to stay with what's-her-name. No, you have to stay here to stay with what's-her-name. The next day, they're like, okay, let's go. And leave her there for 18 hours with no explanation.
I got nothing. You're right.
But the acting is also shit. Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise. Colby Smulders is fine.
I was watching Tom Cruise. When I noticed that the acting was a little bad, I thought, you know, does Tom Cruise, you know, he's kind of like dead at this point in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he's like that in the movie on purpose because Jack Reacher has no soul, but he kind of does because he asks girls on dates and wants to be a dad. I don't know. Colby Smulders is fine.
Yeah, she's fine. But
she's good.
You know,
she's pretty. I kind of like her.
I hate to criticize an actress who I assume is really 15 years old, but you know,
she's bad, man.
There are much better.
She's like that one scene in the entire season of That's So Raven, where there's a dramatic moment. You know, when there was like a dramatic moment in like a Full House episode. That's how bad it was.
I feel bad because she's 18, but you know what? How often are we talking about seeing teenager child actors and they, oh my God, they're so good?
Oh, I don't know.
Stranger Things.
Whoops. Wait, what? Wait, they were younger, Sean. They were like 9.
Yeah.
Also, can we please fire the hairdresser? Because this girl's hair.
Yeah.
Okay, Sean, I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking foreign language to you. I'm a dad with an 8-year-old little blonde girl.
Right.
This teenage girl in this movie's hair was a hot mess.
Well, that's because she's on the streets, dude. She knows how to pickpocket people and charm ruffians. That's because you got to have messy hair.
Those are not street skills anymore at all. What is this, Oliver?
It feels like it.
Like, there is no 15-year-olds pickpocketing right now.
If you're a 15-year-old pickpocket listening to our podcast, write in, let us know. But it's, you know, okay, even if you want to give her a pass.
You got to pick a pocket or two.
There's so many supporting adult actors who I'm like, you're bad.
Oh, man, I like this dude. And, you know, Aldis Hodge.
Yeah.
Played, he was like one of the guys in charge of the military police.
Yeah.
He was like kind of not good.
Yeah.
He's a little choppy.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, who do you think you are? I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's a bad movie in every way. The first scene was like,
okay.
And that was it. That was the last moment.
You're not wrong.
Where I was on board. There are action, you know, I didn't really care that much about the last Bourne movie. I think I don't even remember reviewing it at this point. Nah. They're all just running together.
No thanks.
But this is nothing but garbage beginning to end. This is like, it's to the point where if you walk into the theater, I'm pretty sure any other movie playing is going to be better.
Yes.
Anything else at the theater, whatever, every other film. You want to go see Storks? Yeah. Go see Storks before you go see Jack Reacher.
What about Priceless?
What's Priceless?
I don't know.
Is that playing right now? Is that a movie playing? Yeah. Is that an actual? I don't know. What is it?
I don't know.
All right.
I'm looking at movies.
You're looking at other movies?
Girl on the Train, better. Suicide Squad, better. Miss Peregrine,
I'm
probably
sure
better.
That's, I'm sure
Magnificent
that's
Magnificent Seven, better.
Much better.
Deepwater Horizon, better.
Better.
Breath of a Nation?
Yeah. Have you seen
that? A lot
of
people are saying it's really bad.
We don't have time for that one on this week's episode.
I'll
tell you.
Don't Breathe. Better. Sully.
Yeah, better.
Better. It's better.
Definitely better. Hate it. Hate that movie.
Masterminds, I heard, was not good.
Oh, I don't know. I don't even know what the hell that is.
Bridget Jones' Diary.
Yeah. Storks? Storks is better.
Storks better. Snowden, better.
I haven't seen Snowden yet.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Makes you scared. Makes you want to throw your phone in a toilet.
Okay.
Blair Witch.
Oh, yeah, better.
Yeah, I don't know. That was bad. That's I tell you what, though, Blair Witch.
If I had to watch one of them again, it'd be Blair Witch.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Good call.
If I had, if they were like, look, you got, you're going to be in this room for 2 hours and the TV has
Edward
to be on.
Edward Zwick, what the F?
It's
you
so
made some
bad.
Good movies.
Is there any chance this is going to be one of the ones where we're like, that was so awful, and we walk out and on Friday people are like, that was pretty good? Is it going to be one of those?
It's possible. I tell you what, though, my theory is that they are really setting up a series that Jack. Look, the first one was like a guy movie.
And there's dozens of books, right? They've got a lot of source material.
I think that they're setting up female fans to like the third one.
Mm-hmm.
To get into the third one.
Maybe.
I mean, if they make a third one, all he has to do is call his daughter once. She doesn't have to be in the whole movie. She probably will be.
I think, they'll make a movie just for her, right?
I think, dude, this is the first credit on the screen is a Tom Cruise production. Like, he's going in on these. He wants this to be his Bourne. I really do think so.
But why, when he has Mission Impossible?
It's not his.
There's 21.
He's a producer.
There's 21 Jack Reacher books, by the way. So they can pretty much go forever.
It's his James Bond. He wants to be James
Bond.
How
old is he?
Like 48.
I think he's older.
What's your guess?
I'm going to say 53.
Really? He's 54.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
See, how many of these does he have in him?
Dude, I mean, Harrison Ford is old.
Yeah.
So is Mel Gibson. They're still cracking.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson's like 68 years old.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford's like 73.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, I don't know what else to tell you.
That's it. Don't see this under any circumstances. Especially now, if you're in any kind of... if you're in a city of any size, it's what, October 21st? There's some theaters doing some things.
There's so
near
many
you. There's some Halloween programs going on. Don't spend your money on this under any
movies.
Circumstances. I saw Keeping Up with the Joneses. That's the other thing coming out today. That's not good either, but definitely see that first. Because there's,
sure.
Because Isla Fisher is pretty hilarious. That's all you need.
Isla? Yeah.
I thought it was Isla.
No, it's Isla.
Isla Fisher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Apparently that's how it's...
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel good about that because you're always pronouncing words so perfectly.
Okay. You can have this
one. You
say
words sometimes. I'm like, I don't even know.
You can have this one.
I didn't know that was a word.
We're going to have a quick extra butter, but first Aaron is going to tell you about Goods and Evil.
Hey, guys. Look, you guys know we love horror movies and we love t-shirts. We love wearing t-shirts. If you want to check out some of our favorite horror shirts, movie shirts, and even a line of vegan shirts, you know it. I tell you all the time. Check out goodsandevil.com. You can save 10% on any order with the coupon code HANDLE. Go to goodsandevil.com, coupon code HANDLE, save 10% on anything. Some amazing Evil Dead shirts.
How about my encounter the other day, by the way?
What's that?
Short break in the ad.
Yeah.
Because there's a photo of me now, I'll tweet it out, standing in front of the work shed from Evil Dead 2.
Yes.
Where he builds the chainsaw.
Goods and Evil has some amazing
Evil Dead shirts. I just want to share that story because it was Living Dead weekend.
Yeah, it's pretty rad.
In Evan City, which is very, very cool.
Yeah.
It's their weekend celebration of Night of the Living Dead and
their
zombie history up there. And there's a shout out to our friend Byron Winton, past guest.
Yeah,
by the way.
He has some amazing horror trading cards out.
Have you seen those? But that was the first time I saw them in person.
They are rad.
I ran into him up at Living Dead weekend and he has, and I got a look at those. There's two lines of horror trading cards, one line of men, one line of women, and they are unbelievably cool.
Yeah.
Look him up. Just Google Byron
That's a
Winton.
Huge project.
Yeah, and it's
Byron
really cool stuff.
Byron Winton.
But also...
.com.
Yes. Also at Living Dead weekend, there's this guy who just figured out one day that the set from Evil Dead 2 was just sitting out in the woods near wherever, where they filmed it. And it had literally collapsed. Like, he just went out into the woods, and the parts of the house and the work shed were collapsed like under leaves in the woods.
And he just...
And piece by piece, he dug it out, cleaned it up, put it back together, and goes to horror cons setting up the work shed...
And makes money.
...from Evil Dead 2. And I gave him $5 so I could take a picture.
Donations?
He wants you to, yeah. I mean, give him $5 and you can get your picture taken.
I see.
But to sweeten the deal, he's got a chainsaw you can put on your hand. Like, it's got a little handle inside. And you can stand in front of the...
That's the best.
I'll tweet it out this time. That's all to say, you like Evil Dead? Go to goodsandevil.com.
Yeah, amazing Evil Dead shirts. Some of my favorites. And also, Sean, real briefly, why don't you tell us about Epicast, our amazing producers.
Yeah, you know, I can't tell you, and people are doing it all the time. People are coming up to me.
Because I pimp Epicast hard my podcast, Grown Dad Business.
And people, I can tell you three people in the last month who have come up to me like, hey, I'm thinking about starting a podcast.
Yep.
Can you talk to me? Where do I go? What do I do? Where you should go is to epicastnetwork.com/services. And they will tell you everything they need, and they will give you a package to do it for you.
And even if you don't remember that, you can just type in Epicast, and you'll find them. Epicast.tv, Epicast Network, you'll find them.
But the address specifically, if you're looking to get some audio produced, they do audio, they do photos, they do events. This is, if you're looking to get something off the ground,
they do live engineering.
This is who you want to hook yourself up with now. Go to epicastnetwork.com/services and tell them that You Can't Handle the Truth sent you. We didn't plug the by the way, on Goods and Evil, use the offer code HANDLE.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you say that? I was ignoring
it. Of course I
did. Okay, never mind. Epicast, Goods and Evil.
Yeah.
Speaking of Epicast, here's another word from the Epicast Network.
Boom! I'm Aaron Kleiber. Guys, check out my podcast, Grown Dad Business, part of the Epicast Network. I talk to guests, some comedians, actors, some pretty fun, interesting people about their kids, about their childhood, about parents. And every once in a while, I bring in my own kids. Like my son Luke. Should they listen to the podcast? Why?
But we love you.
Oh, okay. Or my daughter Becca talks to us. Why should they listen to the podcast?
Because my dad is funny.
True.
He is a good spy.
He's a good spy?
Yes.
Not anymore. You just told everybody.
And he's awesome.
Luke, am I awesome?
He poops.
I do poop. Listen to Grown Dad Business, guys, part of the Epicast Network, and you'll get more of this and hopefully more entertaining things that is not happening. Follow your heart.
And we're back.
Bingo. Local extra butter.
Yeah.
Personal extra butter.
I take it, because I feel like I have nothing but raves.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, my longtime friend that I made movies with for a long time is continuing to direct and write films. You may know him as a former guest of this podcast, Chris Prexta, mm-hmm. one of the creators of Pittsburgh Dad, the director and editor behind Pittsburgh Dad. Also, writer and director with myself on Captain Blasto and A Great Disturbance, independent films. Yeah, I've given shout outs.
Mercury
Men. I've starred and written in independent films.
Yes.
And they've won awards. And Chris Prexta has done them all as well. And Mercury Men, an amazing series that was on Sci-Fi. Little short bumper series, they call it.
Yeah.
One of those in-betweener series. But now he created a short called Echo Torch. And, of course, we were there for the premiere at the New Century Cinemas in West Mifflin, Luxury Cinemas. With the reclining seats.
Oh, yeah.
We got to see this short film. And, you know, look, I've known Chris since we were kids, like drawing pictures. He's one of the most creative people I've ever met. And Echo Torch did not disappoint. You have to see it. You can watch it right now on YouTube.
You can watch I think the easiest way is, I mean, if you look at Aaron's page, my page, we've all tweeted it out.
Yeah, yeah.
But. Go to Chris's Twitter at C Prexta, C P R E K S T A.
That's correct.
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
The reaction I had sitting there, this is a 20 minute short, and I really don't. I want people to have the experience I did, where I knew nothing about it. You know, these are a lot of friends of mine involved with it, but I just hadn't had the conversation. Oh, what are you working on?
Yeah, yeah.
I knew nothing about the film.
Amazing local talent.
And unbelievable cast and crew.
Yeah.
And so I knew nothing about it, so I don't want to tell you what it's about. My reaction to it
don't
was...
don't tell them what it's about.
Was, this is...
I'll give a tease.
This is studio quality filmmaking.
Well, and it is. In a absolutely. Very, a very huge studio is involved, Animal.
Right.
Which Michael Kellen... it runs the Animal Studio, and right now he's filming a show for ABC in Pittsburgh now that he wrote and created.
But we've all seen local projects that, you know, are good and are fun, but look like, this is, you know, they made this on a shoestring, and, you know.
Sure.
This looks like, you know, this looks like the first episode of a show on Showtime. This looks, if you are fortunate enough to see this in a theater, it looks like... anything else playing at that theater that night.
Yeah.
And the cinematography is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But the story is so powerful.
Yeah, it's very good.
And I'll give this away because...
Don't give it away.
No, I'll give this away because it was given away in the introduction of the film. It's so powerful in a script with no dialogue.
Oh, right.
And...
basically, to entice you at all, I'll just tell you what the description that Chris put out is that a man... creates a tool that sees ghosts.
Yeah. But it is not what you're thinking when you hear that premise. That's all I'll say. Mm-hmm. This is the endorsement I want to give, and this is random, but I posted Echo Torch on my Facebook today.
Yeah, me too.
And a writer named Tony Kolath, he's a guy, he's one of my colleagues at Box Office Profits.
Yeah.
He's been writing for them probably for 15, 20 years. Has no idea... who Chris is, has no attachment whatsoever, happened to see this on my Facebook and press play and immediately replied, that's some impressive talent right there. Thank you for posting this. This is a terrific film. And that's, you know, I say that because that's a guy that knows film and has no reason to, you know, like, these are friends of ours. If you want an unbiased opinion, that's why I bring that up.
Sure.
Yeah, I can't recommend it highly enough to take 20 minutes out of your day and watch Echo Torch.
For sure.
It is so much better than Jack Reacher 2.
crazy better.
Yes. All right. What else you seen recently? Lightning round.
I'll just tell you right now that Echo Torch was posted at 10 a.m. this morning and has almost 3,200 views.
Really? That's pretty good for a you know, it's not a 1 minute thing, but I mean, people have to commit 20 minutes to watch
pretty
it. That's
cool.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
That means that people are pressing play and getting hooked.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. So yeah, check that out.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to let you know this weekend.
Oh yeah, I got a big one to plug.
Tonight
too.
And tomorrow, I'm in Youngstown at a really cool little place, Mojo's Comedy Cellar. Mm-hmm. And then next week, Friday and Saturday, I am at the Carolina Comedy Club in Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And then November 4th, 5th, and 6th, I am at Baltimore Comedy Factory with Mr. John Witherspoon, my pops. And then in the middle of November, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th, I'll be at the Syracuse Funny Bone.
Uh-huh.
And then, oh yeah, dude.
Yeah.
The Friday after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, stand-up get down, stand-up comedy game show. At Arcade Comedy Theater, Saturday after Thanksgiving, I'm headlining two shows at one of my favorite clubs at Juniors in Erie.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. And
then I'm in Calgary.
Calgary?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's a great club in Calgary.
Home of Brett the Hitman Hart.
And the Flames.
And the Flames.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, hey.
It's my first Canada weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've done a one-nighter there.
But you haven't done a full weekend?
In Toronto.
Calgary's way up there.
Yeah, man.
That's a long flight.
It's like a 7-hour flight. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, tomorrow night is the final DVE loaded show of 2016.
It is straight up loaded.
You know, they all are. I mean, you are never, ever, ever going to not get a good show.
They are. Every show is good.
By going to the loaded show. But this one is again, you should not get this comedy show for $10. But you will. I'll be hosting for Bill.
Yeah, this is, you know, that's the first time I ever thought about that.
Yeah, Bill Crawford, Terry Jones, Jeff Conkle, Molly Shero, Mike Travers, Ian McIntosh. $10.
Yeah. And there's a lot of favorites there. Ian McIntosh is one of my favorite young comics.
Yeah, he's tremendous.
Really funny guy and a really funny improviser as well.
Yeah.
Performs at Arcade Comedy Theater.
Yeah, he can do it all.
Molly is seriously, she's hysterical.
And really, there's no, I mean.
And everybody else is pros, man.
Bill, Terry, and Jeff on top.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You have to be at this one. Get your tickets now, clubcafelive.com. It's going to sell out. Get them in advance.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with more Loaded shows next year. We're excited about it, but don't wait till I think it's February before there's going to be another one.
Yeah.
So come on out tomorrow night, clubcafelive.com. I'll tell you what movie I saw for the first time.
What's that?
Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh, really?
And that's a good one. That's a gem right there. That gets a little weird and goofy. It's pretty over the top. That's where he learns to, Frankenstein, or the monster learns to talk a little bit. That's a real good. Yeah. I've seen two, and I don't think I'm going to get to see any more. Regent Square Theater is doing a Universal Monster series with their Sunday nights. I don't think I'm going to get to the other one, but I did Dracula and Bride of Frankenstein. Dracula's interesting. You know, you can see the influence. It's very atmospheric.
The Wolfman is the best one.
No, I missed it.
Wolfman is the hands down the best one.
Dracula is, you kind of got to commit. Bride of Frankenstein holds up.
Yeah,
it's funny and it's got creepy moments and the performances are great.
It's really good. Yeah, the visuals are. I'm telling you what, man, the visuals when you see the Wolfman running through this park, and the moonlight, it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful film.
Bride of Frankenstein has effects that I don't know how they did in 1935.
I love it.
That's you remember that's the one where they've got little people in jars.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that scene? He's like made little tiny people that he's keeping in jars. And I legitimately don't know how you filmed that in 1935.
It's awesome.
So watch Bride of Frankenstein, maybe.
Yeah, and go on my Facebook page. I think I also posted on You Can't Handle the Truth Facebook page.
Yeah.
I got a little list of some movies I'm running through in October, some horror movies. I just finished Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Donald Sutherland. That's really cool. Creepy.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, Alien Gel, dude.
Yeah.
Alien Rain. Alien Rain.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.
Epicast.